Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey everyone, welcome to an all new Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's and brought to you by Wendy's new big bacon cheddar cheeseburger for a limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Kendra Andrews,
yes,
Grant
sir.
Lifman here, and the Warriors are 4-0. That's where you got to start. Just right out the gates, let's just say it, 4-0. Because right out the gates against the Thunder, they were not playing like a team that was undefeated.
They were not. It was a little bit lackadaisical. Effort was not there. Dug themselves into a hole against the team that they probably shouldn't have been down that much against.
You mean like down 15 early on?
That's exactly what I mean, Grant. That's exactly what I mean. But let's go to the positive. Let's focus more on the positives. And the positive is last season, Grant, the Warriors would have lost this game. You know, and actually, no, I'm going to revise that. Maybe they wouldn't have lost this game. The game would have been decided by how Steph Curry played in the fourth quarter. Grant, Steph did not score in the fourth quarter tonight.
So therefore, they would have lost this
game. They would have lost the game. But they didn't because of the bench players, the depth that they have. We have said it so many times through the first four games and the preseason games. The depth. It is chef's kiss right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this team comes together in the late third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, go on a massive run. They hold them to the Thunder to 2 points, and they hold the Thunder in the second half just to 39 points overall. Mm-hmm. Warriors win this game by 8. But you mentioned the depth, and you mentioned the bench. But before we even get to the bench, let's talk about a couple of the starters and how they played. Andrew Wiggins. He is getting catching a lot of flack on Twitter and social media for many different reasons. And he actually has had this his whole career, to be honest with you, dating back to Minnesota, even dating back to Kansas when he was there. Andrew Wiggins is being paid a lot of money. He is somebody that has immense talent. And yet somehow it seems to just disappoint people because he doesn't, you know, maybe bring it to the level they want every single night, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. You want to find consistency. When you're paying the guy this much money, you want to find consistency with him, right? Well, in this game, he goes 0 for 5 from 3. So you're like, how can you tell this guy had a good game? He was 0 for 5 from 3. But it was the way he attacked the hoop. When he is aggressive, when he tries to beat his man off the dribble, and not just beat him off the dribble, but own him down low, and to bully the guy with his strength, his athleticism. He has sneaky strength.
He does.
When he tries to do that, that is the best version of Andrew Wiggins. He finishes with 21 points, and he was attacking the hoop and really exposing some Thunder players, and that was partially the reason this team came back.
Absolutely. When Andrew Wiggins attacks, it is like nothing else the Warriors have from anyone else. You know what I mean? Like, he's the only person on this roster who can really attack the rim as he does. The Warriors have other guys who can attack, for sure. You know, Draymond Green is great when he attacks. They have other big bodies who can attack. But you mentioned Andrew Wiggins' athleticism, and he has different athleticism than Draymond Green does. So he does need to use that more. And I think, I mean, seeing the way he attacks the rim, that's a reason why people get a little bit frustrated, because there is a question of just, well, why aren't you doing that all the time? You know that works. You know that the Warriors need you to do that. So why aren't you doing that? The Warriors don't need Andrew Wiggins shooting that many three-pointers. Maybe they did last year because they didn't have the shooting depth that they have now. But you have Steph Curry, you have Jordan Poole, you have Damian Lee. When Klay Thompson gets back, you have Klay Thompson. You have bigger guys like Bielitsa and Otto Porter to stretch the floor and shoot threes. JTA can knock down threes. Draymond Green's been knocking down threes. Andrew Wiggins, yes, if he has a good shot, he should take it. But he should be looking to attack the rim, because it's a thing of beauty when he does. And, you know, if he starts doing that a little bit more, maybe people will stop giving him such a hard time. and say, why are you settling for shots instead of just attacking the rim?
Yeah, and settling is an issue sometimes because he does sometimes has an inefficient shot. And he was much better at that last year than earlier in his career. Mm-hmm. But just it's about his ability to take over the moment. And if he can get more moments of like the, you know, of that every game consistently, you can start saying, hey, this Andrew Wiggins guy, I mean, he's truly helping this team win on both ends of the court. You mentioned a bunch of names there, and a lot of them contributed in this game. Damian Lee, 20 points for him. On the season now, in four games, he's averaging over 14 points per game, just under 50% from three. He is somebody that has gone better and better each and every year. He plays within the offense. He plays within the defense. Mm-hmm. And with that, also, he wants to shoot the ball. You give him that ball, he wants to shoot it. And we talk about Jordan Poole in that regard. We say the confidence, right? That no matter what, he wants to shoot. Damian Lee also wants to shoot the rock. And what he's doing is he's doing it at times when they need it. He's doing it by attacking the hoop. He's doing it in his floater game. He's even shooting some mid-range shots. I just love the way he's playing basketball right now. And the Warriors are better, and it's not even close, mm-hmm. when Damian Lee is playing in any way like he is right now.
In my opinion, Damian Lee was the momentum shifter against the Thunder. When D. Lee came in the third quarter, he hit down those two big threes. That was the first, like, because the Warriors had an awful shooting night in Oklahoma City. That was the first kind of consecutive shooting that says, okay, is there still a spark here? Can they get anything? And then Otto Porter Jr. came in and knocked down those threes, and then everything kind of just started falling into place. But to me, it was those two shots by Damian Lee that set a spark and really got them on that huge run in the third quarter that ended up with them taking the lead. And, you know, this was the first summer. This summer 2021 was the first offseason that D. Lee had that he wasn't working his way back from an injury. Yes, he had to come back from COVID, and he did say that did take a little bit to get his lungs back and get his conditioning back. But getting the conditioning back was different than working a muscle group back. And Steve Kerr said that because of that, he knew that Damian was primed to have a really, really big year. And through the first four games of the season, we're absolutely seeing that. He was their most consistent player in training camp, Steve Kerr said. So Steve knew. He said it was just a matter of time until everyone started catching on. And just game after game after game, Damian Lee is coming up for really big, yet sometimes subtle ways for this team.
And I love how Steve said that Kenny Atkinson called him the Rod Carew. And again, this is definitely
and
for an audience.
And then he goes, who?
Yeah, exactly. He said he's got to Google it, right? That's what Damian said. You know, Rod Carew, for those of you who don't know, should I inform you?
Please.
Incredible hitter, Hall of Fame, you know, just your pure hitter, and you get a couple hits a night. That's what Kenny Atkinson was describing, because he gets those couple hits a night. No matter what, Damian Lee's going to do a couple things, hit a couple threes, do a couple things that help this team win. You mentioned Otto Porter Jr. Biggest moment of his Warriors time. Yeah, he had contributed in other ways before. 9 rebounds, another game. He was doing all the little things here or there. This time, 2 major three-pointers from his corner spot, like he likes. And in that case, it gave them the lead, gave them a little cushion. The Warriors did not look back after that. Mm-hmm. And you can feel the momentum shifting after that moment. Damian Lee hits his shots, Porter hits his shots. And again, as you said before, you're not getting that last season as much. You're not. Kent Bazemore had some big shots last season, but you weren't getting on a consistent basis where somebody was stepping up every
night. You were asking the same question this year and last year of, well, who's going to step up other than Steph, right? Because I asked myself that last season. But when I asked myself that last season, it was, oh my God, who is going to do it? Right. Who is going to take the onus? Who's going to be able to do it?
Is Oubre going to be, is he going to be consistent this game? Right. Is he not, et cetera?
This season, there's so many guys to do it. Who is it going to be? Right. It's a completely different tone that you're asking that same exact question. And it's a good shift of tone.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And again, not to disparage some of the roster from last season, it's just this team is more equipped to handle situations where they have to come back. And again, I know we're talking about the Thunder. They're probably going to end up being the worst team in the league this season. But you got to win the games in front of you. Yes. You were down. They were outplaying you. You come back and win the game. That is a win. You're 4-0. So you take it and you move on, right? You obviously can look for where the issues were, including Jordan Poole. Really struggled in this game. He hasn't been consistent yet. What he does do well is attack the hoop. So when he went 0 for 7 from 3, you're like, maybe start chucking threes. And what does he do? He then beats his man off the dribble, gets back-to-back buckets attacking the rim, also finished with 7 assists, so he was playmaking a little bit. It's doing other things than just beating a dead horse and saying, hey, I'm going to get a 3 soon. I promise you, I'm going to get this 3 soon.
Absolutely. And it's almost, you almost say, good thing that this happened against the Thunder at this point in the season, especially than a Brooklyn team or a Milwaukee team or a Phoenix or, you know, ones who would really, really make them pay. It was a good test, honestly, for the Warriors, a good gut check to say, yeah, we're good, but we're not that good quite yet. We're not good enough where we can afford to get down and frankly, beat ourselves as they were in that first half against the Thunder. They have to stay on top of it. You know, Jordan Poole, yeah, he has to learn, okay, at a certain point, I have to stop chucking up shots. I have this other part of my game that I need to use. And so when you start moving forward in the schedule, you just kind of hope that they remember these things. But as we said, you know, the important thing is they won the game that they were supposed to win. There were a lot of times last year where they didn't win the games that they were supposed to win.
Absolutely. And they won by 8. It just so happens Draymond Green had 8 points tonight. That's a good number. Everyone wants to see him make 8-10 points if you can get to that. That's the third game in a row that he's had 8 or more points. 3 of 4 games this season that he's had 8 or more points. Last season, in the first 17 games, he had 3 such games. So again, you can see it early on. Draymond's being more assertive, more aggressive, and he's attacking the hoop. That matters in the end. I want to give some love to your boy JTA.
Let's do it.
Because he has a really just a positive impact on this game. Mm-hmm. But there's something in particular that caught my eye. This is 4 straight games now that JTA is exactly 1 for 2 from 3. He is a 50% shooter from 3. He's not changing. He's 1 for 2 from 3, and that's just how it's going to be the rest of the way.
I don't know. My favorite stat, what was this? It was like the third or it was in the fourth quarter, and we're sitting watching this game. And I look at you and I say, he is a team best at that point. He had a team best plus 15 or 14.
Yeah, something like that.
Zeros across the board. He had not made a basket, an assist, a steal, a block, a turn. Like
He had a foul.
And that is it. And somehow he was still plus 14.
That's actually a skill. It's a skill to be out there and do. And that means he's doing the secondary assists. He's the one setting the screens. He's the one,
making,
boxing somebody out so someone else gets the rebound.
That is like
GTA.
The definition of stats don't show up on the stat sheet, but absolutely do in just the simpleness of the plus 14. That was my favorite stat of the night.
You know, boxing out deserves a stat.
It does.
There literally is a stat. We can look it up. NBA.com. We'll find out how many box outs JTA had. Looking ahead. This team is 4-0. 8-game homestand coming up. Much talked about how this is the soft part of the schedule. Mm-hmm. Well, Memphis comes to town first. They're coming off a back-to-back. They're in Portland the night before. Then they come play the Warriors. And Ja Morant is going crazy. He's doing his thing. Obviously, there's some, not bad blood, but there's some, people remember how last season ended, right? And it was at the hands of the Memphis Grizzlies, if you literally do not remember. So we look at this homestand in totality, 8 games. Mm-hmm. What's their record going to be after this?
I predict, looking into my crystal ball that is right here, if you can see it, I think the Warriors will have an overall record of 9-3.
So I'm doing my math in the air
now. Please do. I'm not good at math.
That means you're saying they're going to go 5-3 on the homestand.
I believe so. I have 4 games circled, Grant, as possible losses for the Warriors. Against the Grizzlies, Charlotte, Atlanta, and Chicago. I don't think the Warriors are going to drop all 4 of them because I do think that some of them could be considered like trap games. Look, Charlotte wasn't a playoff team. The only playoff team from last season was the Hawks. So that is just kind of on my list of, it's going to be a tough game because they're a good team.
You said LaMelo is balling.
He is.
Kelly Oubre comes back to town. That is going to be fun. We'll see how the Warriors fans welcome back to Chase Center as well.
That's a question up in the air. Yeah.
They're hustling. They're a good team. They're really fun to watch.
They really are. Then you go to Chicago. Chicago is the only other team that's 4-0. Bulls, Warriors. Again, I think it's a winnable game, But this isn't the same Bulls team that's been around the past couple of years, right?
No.
They are the other Ball brother.
And they're undefeated.
Is completely different than what it's been. So to me, those could definitely be games that the Warriors drop. And then, as you mentioned, the Grizzlies, you know, this is a very tough Grizzlies team. They did beat the Warriors in the play-in game last season when that was a game the Warriors expected them to win. So for me, those are four games that are definitely possible losses. Like I said, I don't think they're going to lose all four of them. Ideally, they'd only drop two of them, but I'm gonna say that they'll drop three.
You're sitting there in the middle.
I am.
Okay, so I think the Warriors would be happy with 5-3. Sure. Obviously, it really depends on when the losses come, when the wins come. That's how it always ends up. If you lose three in a row to end a homestand, no one's happy.
Right.
And you don't look big picture and go, oh, well, we still were 5-3. We started 9-0. But, you know, Kendra, I can't just agree with you all the time.
Please don't.
I'm going to go 6-2 on this one.
6-2?
Yeah, me personally. I'm going 6-2 on this one. No, I think the Warriors home, they're feeling the momentum rolling right now. They're feeling confident right now. I think they have a chance to go 6-2 on this homestand. And if they can, they'll feel very good about themselves.
Phenomenal.
And if they come out 10-2 after a homestand, they will feel sensational.
Cloud nine. Listen, I think they will probably drop more than one game. So if you're going in, if you're 10-2, yeah, that's, as in my mind, that's as good as it can get.
Okay, so they're going to go undefeated. Wow. Good job. I really appreciate that.
Yep.
Okay, well, 4-0. This podcast is rolling along 4-0 as well. We win when they win, right?
It's true. Yeah, I mean, Grant, we have to tell our listeners that the Warriors were losing.
Yes.
And then Grant, we were watching the game, and he got up and started doing his stretches. And
my
as soon
exercises.
As you started doing a yoga class in the middle of the game, they started winning. So
it's amazing.
Grant doing yoga and our podcast are the lucky charms.
It's just a little bit of aerobics. Everyone's watching the game. Might as well stand up, stretch the legs.
Yep.
You know, just get a little activity in your life. Don't just sit there for two and a half hours.
You were in it.
And then afterwards, drink the drink that we promote after Dubstock Live.
And eat your Wendy's cheeseburger.
Exactly. I love Wendy's. Okay. thank you so much for listening. Make sure to download. Make sure to follow. This is Dubstock Talk presented by Wendy's. I hope you and Kendra have a wonderful rest of your day, night, morning.
Thank you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.